and children. That, I'm going to say it again. Missions, youth, and children. Okay? That's what Life Point Church is going to put at the forefront of our ministries here. Amen? How many of you sitting in this room are saved? Filled with the Holy Spirit? Rocking on, living for God, all that stuff. Let me tell you something. There's a generation walking these streets that don't know about what we know about. And if we close ourselves off to Sunday morning service, we will watch a generation grow up without God. And I believe we're going to be held accountable. So thank you for all of you who serve now, who've continued to serve through all the transitions of the church, who will continue to serve in the future. We're creating a team here. Can you say team? And you're on it. You just don't know it yet. What God's putting together, I'm telling you, is going to impact Sunrise. It's going to impact Broward County. It's going to impact your life. Who's ready? I'm excited. Today we're going to continue in our series about the Holy Spirit. Last week, and just so you know, the Sunday morning messages are going to be basically the full work of the Holy Spirit. From the moment Jesus was walking and Jesus made the promise, we talked about it last week, how Jesus made the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter to come, to dwell in us, to live in us. While he was still alive, he began to prepare his disciples for the day of Pentecost. We're going to work our way on Sunday mornings to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell, when the Holy Spirit came down to a group of people that were gathered in a place, that they were in one accord, and you all know the story. But today we're going to continue on as Jesus walks real close with his disciples. See, it really doesn't do us any good, in my opinion, just to talk about the day of Pentecost when we don't realize the preparation that Jesus had in order for his disciples to receive. How many of you know sometimes we got to go back and till the ground of our soul a little bit? Anybody with me? And so this morning I hope to do that with you. In John chapter 16, verse 5 is where I'm going to start. And Jesus makes a statement to his disciples. He says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, you sorrow in your heart." Your heart is filled with sorrow. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And this is a moment that, in all honesty, to give all credit to the disciples here, they're having a hard time with this message that Jesus is putting out at this point. He begins to talk about things that are spiritual, and they're not catching it all, and I get it. How many of you ever struggled with some things the Lord was speaking to you, or just struggled reading the Word of God sometimes, and like, you know, some of that deep spiritual stuff? It takes time to catch all that, and Jesus was telling his disciples, "I'm fixing to leave." Now, the thing about it for these guys, you got to think, in their natural life, they were close with him, they walked with him, they were friends with him, and he says, "I'm fixing to go. And where I go, you cannot go," but he said, "it's to your benefit that I leave." And here's what I want you to catch in our Christian journey. How many of you ever felt alone before? You know, you ever heard the old saying, "I feel alone in a room full of people"? You ever felt like that before? It's like, you know, and I'm going to tell you, God will put us in situations in our lives that will leave us isolated and alone. But it's not to harm us or damage us. Because I'm going to tell you something, you will never know the true work of the Holy Spirit until you've been alone without anybody. And then the Holy Spirit comes and ministers to you and dwells inside of you. In other words, as a believer, as a New Testament believer, believing in the New Testament, we should never be alone. What did he say? "I will never," what? "Leave you or forsake you. I will be with you until the end of this age." Now, Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, they were thinking, naturally, this man is going to be with us naturally. He's going to walk with us. We're going to continue on with him in the ministry. But that's not what he was saying. He said, it's to your advantage that I go. Because when I go, I will send the Helper. And if I could say something to help you this morning, you may be at a time in your life where you feel like you have no help. Have you ever been there before? Married people with children, anybody married with kids in this place, and you honestly would say there's been times in my life that I felt all alone, even though I had all the people around me that loved me, all the stuff, but I really felt all alone. And I would say this to you this morning, God allowed you to be in that position. Why? Because he wants you to experience the Holy Spirit in your life. And if there's one thing for the church today that I would say the tool that we have that is greater than anything else, it's the ability to have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. There should, we're all human, we all go through things, but there should never be a believer that has to constantly, daily look at themselves and say, I'm all alone, I have no one, there's nothing for me, nobody loves me. I'm going to say, listen, man, you need to get yourself right with the Holy Spirit again, because God will always be there with you. Always. So the disciples were having a tough time, and we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning. Last week we talked about when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, our life produces fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering. That's a great fruit, isn't it? I mean, everybody loves that one. Gentleness, kindness, self-control. These are how we can test our life to see, is the Holy Spirit really living inside me? Now, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get to that in a couple of weeks here. So Jesus begins to tell them the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's imperative that you be alone for a moment, because in your moment of loneliness, the Holy Spirit will come to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. People are afraid to be alone. People will go to any lengths not to be alone. You know what I'm saying? And now we live in a day and age of technology and digital stuff that you can be with someone anywhere, anytime, at the palm of your hand if you so desire. But I would say this, be careful, be careful. Don't be afraid to let God put you in an isolated place for a moment in your life. Because when you come through it and you feel the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to testify. You'll know without a shadow of a doubt, the Holy Spirit lives within me. So he begins to tell them in verse number 7. Let's walk through this. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him. Listen to what he says in verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, verse 9, because they do not believe in me. This is what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. He convicts the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Verse 10, he says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. In verse 11, he says, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. I love it when Jesus did this to help these guys out. In other words, what I have to say, man, you won't catch it anyway. Let's stop right here for a minute. I would have fit real good with that club, you know what I mean? Because that's heavy stuff. Jesus says, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. Now, we learned last week, and earlier, you'll see it in a minute, that we said the Holy Spirit was our what? Comforter. The Holy Spirit was our helper, right? That was the first thing personally that the Holy Spirit does for us. He helps us. He comforts us. You're going to read in a minute that he leads and guides us, but he also has the ministry, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He has a ministry to this world, and here he goes. He says, I will convict the world of sin, verse 9, because they do not believe in me. Remember what I said last week when Jesus began to talk about the Holy Spirit. He said, listen, the first thing you have to do is what? You have to believe. You have to believe. And I'm going to tell you something. We live in a world today that does not believe. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is going to bring conviction on those who don't believe. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction on those who don't believe. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. Let me read this to you. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks, for it's God's will through Christ Jesus to do that, in everything give thanks, and do not quench the Spirit. See, the Spirit is drawing us. Remember what I said last week? Jesus said this, you did not choose me. I chose you. Like I said, we would kind of self-righteously come and and make this proclamation that, oh, I decided finally to follow Jesus. Look how good my life is. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's not true. The Bible says that he drew us. And see, this is where he convicts the world of sin when he says, do not quench the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit is drawing, when the Spirit is drawing sinners, lost people, the thing people will do is say, I don't want any part of it. And let me tell you something. We do this too as believers. Quenching the Spirit is a dangerous place to live. How many of you have ever done it before? Only people that are breathing have fallen into this category, just so you know. So it's not everybody in here. But we quench the Spirit. Now, it's one thing to quench the Spirit as a believer because we can be forgiven. But there is this thing called blasphemy of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to talk about dangerous ground. This is why he said, I will convict the world of sin because they don't believe in me. See, there's one way to God. It's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, we are drawn to him by the Spirit of the living God. And when we say no to that drawing, I'm telling you what, the Bible would say there is a sin that's unpardoned. There is one thing you can do that cannot be forgiven. Matthew 12, verse 31. Matthew 12, verse 31. I'm just laying this ground. I want everybody to understand this ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning. I want you to understand that there is some consequences that are not funny, that are not to be taken lightly, that at the end of the day, when this age is gone, the Bible says he's going to separate things. And my friend, let me tell you, there's going to be a separation. And I'm assuming that everybody in this building is not going to be in the separation, but you can be. He said, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the what? Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, I've studied this thing, and I've tried my best to figure this out, and my natural brain does not always comprehend it, but I'll tell you what I think it means. I think it means this. There comes a day and time when man living on this earth, and God says, I'm drawing you, I'm telling you, I'm revealing myself to you. It's time for you to make the choice to live for Christ. It's time for you to come and repent of your sins. And men would say, or whoever would say, you know what, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm going to keep living my life like I want. I'm not doing it. And let me tell you something. You do that long enough with the Spirit, and what does he say? There remains no, in other words, God has a line. God has a line. You agree? You understand what I'm saying today? God has a line, and I don't know where it is, but I'm going to say this, and this is my message today. Don't ever try to find out where it is. When you feel the Spirit leading, man, you follow the Spirit to Jesus. And then Jesus, listen, Jesus says, you will be forgiven of your sins. Everything, you're not held under condemnation through Christ. The Holy Spirit draws us. The Spirit reveals Christ. And he said the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. And this was the sin of the world. It was one sin. It was that they did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. That was the sin that convicted the world. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, you know what? I lived a good life and I did all good stuff. And, you know, I gave to the poor and I was really a good person. And all he's going to look at you and say, did you believe that Jesus was my Son? The next verse, he says that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he convicts the world of righteousness because I go to my Father. He convicts the world of righteousness because he goes to his Father. In other words, you got to think back to the story of when Jesus was baptized by John. I want you to understand what this righteousness means. In Matthew 3, 14 through 17, maybe he can pull it up. It says Jesus came to John at the river. You'll remember the story. And John said, I don't need to baptize you. John knew who the Christ was. He knew who Jesus was. John said, I don't need to baptize you. You should baptize me. But what did Jesus reply to him? He said, this must be done so that all righteousness must be fulfilled. Let me read through it. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptizing you, and you're coming to me. Verse 15, Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. The righteousness that Jesus is talking about is doing the will of God. What did he say? He convicts the world of righteousness because why? Because I go to my Father. This was all part of the will of Jesus' life. God had a plan for his life. And let me tell you something. God has a plan for your life. Right, us living righteous before God is not because of our good works. He said our righteousness is as like a pile of filthy rags before God. In other words, your best day. How many of you have best days and bad days? Thank you for being honest back there. How many of you have more bad days than good days? I know this is first service, so, you know, we're not dealing with the second service crowd yet. The truth of the matter is you probably have just as many bad days as you do good days if you really want to mark it on a calendar. But what God says is that's not what makes you right. That's not what makes you right. Listen to what he says here. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. As Paul's teaching the church, he begins to explain what righteousness is. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. Christ became righteousness. Christ became our righteousness. Let me pull up one more verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21, listen to this. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the what? Righteousness of God. I'm really not trying to confuse you this morning. I'm trying to work through this. But we became what? What does it say? Because of what? Jesus on a cross. I'm talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will convict the world of righteousness because I go to my Father. This is what I want you to understand about this righteousness. It is that we know and we do the will of God for our life. That's part of what our righteousness is. Jesus became our righteousness on a cross. Right? Then Jesus left us with some commandments, didn't he? He said, go and do this. If you and I want to fulfill righteousness, we better do what God's commanded us to do. He also said in a prayer, he said, look, let your will be done on earth as it is in, let it be done here as it is in heaven, let it be done here. This is the righteousness of God, that you and I do the will of God for our life. Jesus said it himself, I'm baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Why? Because when he was baptized, what happened when he got out of the water? The Spirit came down and landed on top of him, and God said, that's my Son in whom I am well. Why? Because he did what God asked him to do. And when you and I do what God asks us to do, we begin to feel the righteousness. See, the problem is, the reason why the Holy Spirit convicts of righteousness is because people will claim to be Christians. People will claim to be full of the Holy Spirit. People in the last days will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? Did we not do all these things in your name? And the Lord said, I will look at them and say, what? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. God has a plan for your life. How many of you in your brain know that God has put a vision inside of you for you to be doing something for him? And you may or may not be doing it right now. I'm going to tell you something. Part of the righteousness for my life is to be here pastoring this church. If I had said no to the Holy Spirit, I would be in big trouble right now. Are you with me? I've done this long. I have said no to the Holy Spirit before. Trust me, I'm not perfect. I've quenched that spirit. I've walked out of righteousness by not obeying what God's called me to do. And ultimately, the obeying of righteous living is obeying the commands. It starts with what Jesus said, do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is this, love thy neighbor. If we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, do you think we're walking in righteousness? Do you think if you come in here and sing and dance and bang on a tambourine and get all the little toys out that we get and do all that stuff, but we don't love our neighbor, do you think God's pleased with us? God has a plan for our life. I have nothing against the tambourine either, by the way. Just don't bring it. No, I'm just kidding. The tambourine's for the stage, you know what I'm saying? Not the seats, but that's a whole other story. I'm just kidding. Listen. He said, because I go to my Father, that's why the Holy Spirit convicts. Because I did the plan that my Father had for me. And he was made our righteousness. And then finally, he says this. He said in verse 11, he said, it convicts of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, this is what I want to, this right here is what I want you to understand this morning. Most of you in this room already have it down pat that he convicts the world of sin because they didn't believe. You believe in Jesus. That's not where the enemy's attacking us. Not really that you believe Jesus is the Christ. Maybe some of us are struggling with that righteous living. Maybe some of us are struggling with knowing and doing the will of God for our life. See, I think there's a couple of groups of people. Those who know the will of God for their life and just refuse to do it. And those who've never allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what it is they're supposed to be doing. Because I think everybody in here has a plan and a spot in the kingdom of God to do ministry. You with me? But he says this, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Oh, this is good news right here. You can put a smile on your face right now. Because all that stuff that the enemy's been telling you is a lie. You want to know why? Who's the ruler of this world? The enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him. And let me tell you something. Jesus says right here, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to remind you that this guy has already been judged. You don't have to worry about, is he going to eat your lunch? Is he going to keep me? No, because he's lying to you. You may be believing it, but I'm going to tell you something. His day is over. I'm going to be real honest with you. There's a TV show I like to watch. My wife hates me to watch it. Doesn't like for me to watch it. She hates for me to watch it. It's this show. It's called Lock Up. Has anybody ever seen it? It's like an intense documentary on maximum security prisons in the United States. There's some wild people up in there. How many of y'all watch it? Yeah, see, all the guys. Some of the guys watch it. It's pretty crazy, right? He's got to do some crazy things. And see, this is how I want to illustrate the enemy. Now, let me ask you this. A condemned inmate, and they show these guys all the time. Well, these guys are nuts, man. They're crazy. They're condemned inmates. Are they out? Are they out here in the world doing anything? No. But are they still making a mess and wreaking havoc where they are? Absolutely. It's the same way with the enemy. He has no dominion over this world anymore. But he's still taunting us. And he's still lying to us. And he's still trying to make us believe that he has more authority over our life than we actually honestly believe for ourselves. See, the Holy Spirit reminds us because he has been judged. The Holy Spirit should remind you that every time the enemy lies to you, that he would say this, you are a liar. I am not going to believe every thought that you put in my head. Why? Because you've already been judged. The Holy Spirit would tell me that this is a lie. How many of you talk to yourself? You all are so crazy, man. This is like, we're going to start passing out medication over there at the breakfast table. Well, let me say this. It's a good thing that you are talking to yourself because I would talk to things that you can't see. Hello? If you know what I'm saying. There are times the enemy lies to me and I have to remind him through the Holy Spirit who I am. What God's done for me, how God has delivered me, how what comes out of his mouth is a bunch of garbage. the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he said, I will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me, and of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of the world has been judged. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I want to help you this morning. I want to help you be victorious in your life. I want you to live the way the Holy Spirit empowers the believer to live, in victory. Does that mean you won't have problems? Does that mean you won't make mistakes? See, it's at the moment that we have problems and make mistakes that the liar starts talking to us. How many of you know what I'm saying? But it's the Holy Spirit inside of us that would say, hold on just a minute. You've already been beaten. You've already been defeated. Why? Because my righteousness, my Savior, died on a cross and defeated every work that you could ever throw at me. So I am not going to sit here and listen to these lies anymore. Now I'm telling you, you start saying this stuff out loud at Publix, they'll ask you to leave. You know what I'm saying? They will ask you to please evacuate. But I don't know about you, but where I come from, the enemy is attacking my life in a real way. And there's a lot of times that I have to fall back on the Holy Spirit every day, minutely, and remind him that he's a liar and that he's already been judged. See, I think if the believer, if the church would take authority through the Holy Spirit with what God's put in us, we could defeat half of our problems that are just in our head. How many of you know what I'm saying? How many of you ever play this game called What If? Uh-oh. I'll tell you a little story about my wife. We were riding down the road one day, and there was a billboard sign that said Powerball Lottery. $484 million. She didn't play, but I did. Shoot. No, I didn't. I didn't play it. It's okay. But we started playing the game, What If? Anybody ever done that before? What if we won $484 million? Well, I knew this. What if the government's getting half of it? Boom. So you really got $240 million. I could make do on that. And we do that with our life, and we do that. But here's the thing. Those are fun and great, and that's all good. But I'm telling you what, when a problem arises, the enemy will start to say this. Well, what if? What if this sickness is cancer and you'll die from it? I know how the enemy lies to people. What if? And see, here's what the Holy Spirit, with his ministry, would say this. What if you're a liar? What if this garbage coming in my head right now is not really from the Holy, is not from God, because my righteousness died on a cross to tell me this garbage you're spitting out is a lie? Do you understand that as the Holy Spirit-filled people of God, we have authority as to what takes place in our life? And if there's one thing that I promise you, it annoys me to death, is when people will honestly stand up and testify about the devil and the enemy. And the enemy did this, and the enemy did that. I'm going to say this, the Holy Spirit trumps that garbage. And I don't know who needs this today, but whatever you're thinking in your head, let me tell you something, it's probably a lie. Let trouble arise. Now, you're going to have trouble. How many of you have trouble? How many of you have a kid named Trouble? That's crazy if you do. I mean, just wondering. Some of you should. You're going to have problems, but how we process it is how we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. Who's with me? Listen to what Jesus illustrates this so beautifully. He illustrates this so beautifully. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, being what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's good to know. That's good to know that sometimes the Holy Spirit will take me somewhere that I probably wouldn't have put on my map myself. He will allow me to go in a place of testing. Why? Because until you're tested, you don't know the truth I promise you that. You don't know how much the Holy Spirit can do for you until you're in the wilderness. And see, it's in the wilderness that the enemy starts talking. How many of you have been in the wilderness before? Some of you have been there so long you don't even know what I'm talking about. It's just normal to you. Listen to me. The enemy met Jesus in the wilderness. And the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. Do not be afraid of the wilderness. It's the place the Holy Spirit will prove himself. And some of you are in a situation right now that looks like and feels like you're in the middle of a wilderness, in the middle of a trial. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is going to show up. Being tempted, verse 2, for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when it had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, listen, the devil's tempting him. Now, he said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Let me tell you something. Jesus never, and neither should we, ever give in to what the enemy's asking us to do. The Bible said Jesus was filled with the Spirit. How many of you are filled with the Spirit? The enemy said, if you are who you say you are, make this stone turn to bread. And watch what Jesus said to him. He said, it is written. Somebody say it. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word from the mouth of God. Do you understand that when he was in the wilderness and the enemy began to tempt him, he started to quote the word of God. A spirit-filled man is what the word said. He was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and the only thing that came out of his mouth was the word of God. Let me tell you something. When you're in the wilderness and the enemy starts talking to you, you better know the word of God. You cannot call this church in the middle of the wilderness and say, hey, pastor, pray for me. I'm going down, man. They're taking me out. I'm going to say, you better speak the word of God over this mess. There is no prayer line to eject you from the wilderness. Only thing I can pray is you don't lose it totally in the middle of it. Then the devil, verse 5, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdom of the world. Man, I'm going to tell you something. He showed him just like he would show. You can have everything. You can have it all. You can have everything you want if you'll just do this. And I'm telling you, people have sold their lives out over pennies before. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it will all be yours. This is what he said. If you'll worship me, I'll give you everything you want. And there's people that hear this today, and they believe it. But a man filled with the Spirit knew how to decipher between a lie and the truth. He surely wasn't going to get over on Jesus. And he surely won't get over on you if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It's the same Spirit that was with Jesus that lives inside of you and I. And Jesus answered, get behind me, Satan, for it is, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written. Now here we go. Now the enemy's telling Jesus what was written. And let me tell you something. The enemy will throw old scripture in your life sometime to make you believe what you're doing is lining up with the will of God. You know what I mean? He shall give angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until what? Another opportune time. So every time you get spiritual and you get on it and you say, enemy, I'm going to kill you once and for all, you ain't doing that. As long as you're living and breathing, he's going to tempt and he's going to come back. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can fight this battle and you can get beat up and beat down and nose bloody, all that. But you have authority, according to Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to be victorious whatever garbage the enemy brings to you. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe it, you're in trouble. Because you will be in big trouble walking on this earth, but you're in trouble because he said, I convict the world of sin because they do not believe. Now, we're going to get through this series of messages, and we're going to get to the day of Pentecost where God said, I poured out my spirit. I'm going to tell you something. There is a Holy Spirit we can have now that gives us dominion and victory over every situation in our life. I love the last part of this when Jesus finally finished this confrontation with the enemy. He comes to Nazareth and he was in the synagogue and he makes a statement. And if I've ever in my life, through my study of the Holy Spirit, if I ever said, Lord, what does it look like to have the Holy Spirit? And I get the baptism of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit. We're talking about that stuff on Wednesday night. And you better believe that is for today, for the believer. It's a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But he makes a statement here that says, if I could look like anything, this is what I would want it to look like. In verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable, favorable year of the Lord. Man, you want to talk about good news message for the world around us. This is, my friend, what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling inside of you. Your message is good news. Your message is good. Your message is to proclaim the good news to the lost. You will not get it from me. You will, trust me, if you hang around me long enough. But what I'm saying is, you should not get from me, a spirit-filled believer, a message of doom and gloom for your life. Even when you bring me the worst report, how many of you have had those reports in your life before? Where the enemy would say, this is the one. Finally, the one is, I finally hit you with the one that's going to blow your mind. You know, the kind of report that keeps you up at night with tears rolling down your face and you're looking back and forth wondering, oh my gosh, she was right, I am crazy. Nobody loves me. And the enemy saying, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth. See, look at what's going on around you. It makes sense, don't it? But see, the Holy Spirit would begin to well up inside of us. And I would say this. Let me tell you something. The enemy's a liar. And I'm going to tell you today for your life, I want you to stand to your feet. We're fixing to close because I want you to leave with this in your heart today. Listen to me. The devil is a liar. And whatever garbage you've been listening to, whatever garbage he's been lying to you about, today I'm speaking the truth over your life. I'm speaking the truth of the Word of God over your life. You can leave this place in victory. Why? Because our righteousness was on a cross. Our righteousness was found on a cross. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might be called the righteousness of God. Spirit in your life today gives us victory. over every lie the enemy has spoken to us. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to believe his garbage anymore. I'm not going to waste another moment of my spirit-filled life listening to his lies. And if you got a lie, don't bring it to me. Why? Because this is my message. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor. To set free those that are captive, those that are bound up. To heal the sick. Heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Declare that this is the acceptable, favorable year of the Lord to reign in your life. This is the year, right now. This is the moment. Whatever God's put in your heart, this is the year that God's going to call it to come forward. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. This morning, if you could say, you know what? If that's you and you say, I've been lied to and I believed it, I've fallen for those tricks, but today, after today, it's not going to happen anymore. After today, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. If that's you, I want to invite you at a moment in our altar this morning. I'm fixing to turn this service over to the worship team, and I'm going to believe God for a fresh outpouring of His Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. Why? Because I want to see you live in victory. I want to see you walk in victory. And I believe that's what God has for us this morning. Amen. God bless you this week. Have a great week. We'll see you back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.